Yeah, what is going on, everybody? We are finally back with another episode of From My Experience Podcast. So to preface this, y'all are going to be hearing this in April, but it is March 20th. Yo, these last 2 weeks have been beating the absolute crap out of me and Erica. I done got sick. Apparently, I have allergies. I don't know why, where they came from. I had allergies. I had to call out of work. I was sick all weekend. I couldn't record. I was supposed to go see my boy Carl Van. I couldn't go. I was supposed to go see a little chocolate honey dip thing. You know what I'm saying? Couldn't go. And then that week, which is right now this week, work, I mean, you talking about getting chopped in the throat? You know how, like, at work they say, oh, put that on the back burner. You don't have to worry about that right now. So you put it on the back burner. You focus on other things. And then, you know, a week later, yeah, you know that thing I told you put on the back burner? Yeah, we need that in 2 days. Oh, we need that next week. And it's like, eh? Have you seen my calendar? Have you seen all these meetings, which means I literally have, like, maybe 2 hours to myself to actually work on stuff? So, yeah. Woosah. How you been, Erica?
It's same thing. I don't understand how I can check my emails the night before I go into the office. And as soon as I go in there, I just drink my little coffee. Chaos just erupts out of nowhere. It's just, I'm getting ping, 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 emails. It's so over, it's just very overstimulating where it's like I've snatched off my headset I don't know how many times. I'm so glad that they haven't broken. And I've had to take numerous walks. And then when I go to take a walk, here comes somebody, hope you're not texting too much. And I was like, shut up. I need a break. I can't stand when the older folk be doing that to me at work. I'm just like, please, okay?
Oh my gosh.
It's the same one every time. I'm just like, of course I keep running into you whenever I want to go check my phone for something. He's like, don't break your thumbs.
What? Not break your thumb. Where's my, like, hold up. Where's your?
I'll be down.
Not break your
And
thumbs.
The only thing I'm doing is I'm just sitting there going through my emails and deleting emails on my personal email inbox. Just like,
You know, one day those old people at work are going to be us. Technically, I am the old guy at work now at 39.
I'll be damned.
There's people younger than you in your office?
Yeah, for sure. But still, it's like I'm the old guy now. Like, I don't do like the slick stuff, you know, that the young people do. What's the slick stuff? Let me not incriminate myself. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We have a friend of the show, a friend in real life, and a lovely person who helped change my life for the better in so many ways and exposed me to so many wonderful things and so many opportunities, and someone I always can rely on when I need to hear the truth. Oh, like a shot of whiskey. All right, y'all know her. She's been on the show quite a few times. She's the first one to force me to step my game up and get into the world of virtual conferencing. She is an extraordinarily dynamic woman who I would consider, in my mind, I ain't gonna put this on her, but she is quite fearless and quite faithful, and I can't wait for her book to come out because I know she's gonna write a book one day. Ooh, I thought that was gonna make her make a face, but she didn't, so we're gonna get a book. But ladies and gentlemen, we have Dr. Ashley Dash. Woo! Hold up, where my round of applause at? There we go. Got some sound effects. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
You know, hanging on by a thread.
I mean, a thread still counts. That means you're still hanging, so it's cool.
I want my thread count to be, what's the good thread count, y'all? 1,500?
I think, isn't it more? I'm not sure.
See, yeah. Exactly. Ha! How have you been?
What do the young people say? Like, they say life be lifing. Like, yes. I think that's where I am right now. However, I'm going to say life is still good. So life is lifing, but I think in the, like, the best possible ways. Mm-hmm. I always hear people say, oh, I'm going to go back to XYZ. And I'm like, nope, I don't want to go back to high school. I don't want to go back to college. Like, life now, with all the responsibility, keep me here. I don't want to go back.
Same.
I'm doing quite well. I'm good here. I don't want to go back. I was poor back then. I don't want them to do no more.
Maybe certain portions of college I would like to go back to. But overall, no, I like my autonomy. I like having my real life and my genuine relationships and a lot of the BS behind me. So I'm with you on that. Oh my gosh. We've been through so much together.
We have. And I'm thinking back, like, how many years?
2019 when I left South Carolina to move Virginia. That year we connected. And look at how much stuff we've done together.
That really was it 2019? It seems like longer, but that's when I moved to Japan. So I guess you moved first and then I moved second. Is that how that worked?
I don't remember.
I think it was before then. I think it was 2017 or something.
That could be... No, because I got my job not too long after you helped me with my resume.
I thought that was in 17.
No, I
thought
didn't
I was
leave.
In Atlanta.
I didn't leave until 19.
I mean, it was 18. I don't know. I don't know. It's been a minute, though. We made it through COVID. We still here.
Oh, COVID. COVID has done some interesting things. COVID may be the reason I end up being a millionaire in about 10 to 15 years. We'll see.
How was that? You got some stock in there? You got some Bitcoin?
I bought some of them coins. I bought one of the weird ones, and I haven't done anything to touch it. But where it is today, it's on the horizon. It ain't Bitcoin, y'all, and it's not, it's one of them ones, though. It's one of the ones that's like, whoa, where'd that come from? I'm like, oh, I already have a million of those. Because I bought it when it was like 0.00000000003 cents. So
I don't know anything about that. You don't have to, after this is over, you don't have to educate me on
that.
I can't.
I don't know nothing. I was like, what is this? What are these Bitcoins and coins? And I was on Clubhouse trying to find out. And I was on all these places to find out. And I was like, you know what? I got $200 to spare. I'm going to buy some of this and some of that. And I was like, the worst I can do is buy some of these for like $40. And now I have like 2 million of them. So in 20 years, if it ends up being worth something, I can't be mad. Look at all the people who bought Bitcoin.
Is Clubhouse still a thing?
Clubhouse did one of the dumbest things I thought they could do. It's now, instead of being live rooms, it's messages.
Ew.
Yeah.
That took away the whole essence of Clubhouse.
I don't understand why they would do that, because now Twitter has the feature that Clubhouse has. Fanbase has it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Instagram does it, but...
Instagram has Threads. I don't know.
I'm scared to get on there. I'll stick
with it. Yeah, but I'm not on there.
They try to connect it to your Facebook.
You bougie.
I'm a little bougie because, you know, I like Clubhouse when it's invitation only and like only a couple people had it.
Right.
And then as soon as the market flooded, I jumped off. I was like, I don't like this. It's for everybody. I don't like that. I like to be selective and, you know.
VIP only.
Yes.
Because the scammers took over. Because now when you get on there, people are talking about Bitcoin, coaching. Oh, excuse me. Pardon me. They're talking about Bitcoin coaching and like, oh, let's run up this money. And I'm like, where's the rooms with the genuine conversations? Ooh, this brings me back. Ooh, you bring me back the Studio 55 party line on the old dial-up phone back in the day. Those party lines, before all you fancy digital phone people used to be able to call a number and get on a party line. And then 1 through 9 on the phone was different rooms. And you was just talking to random people. Oh, my God.
See, I've never done that. I have to be honest. I've never done that. But it does remind me of the AOL rooms back in the day. You'd be in there just talking to straight strangers. So, like, this is stranger danger at its highest level.
Yeah. Yo.
We had the video chat version of that. The sleepovers were terrible. It was like Omegle or something.
Oh, Omegle's still popular, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just those random video chats. You chatting with a stranger in Europe. I don't know why they didn't take computers from us. That was just so... Video is just, that's worse. I've You don't even understand the stranger that's talking to you, yet you see their entire room, their house. Oh my gosh, no.
That's how I know the world is so different and that I'm blessed, because, gosh, do I need to tell this story on here?
A stranger danger story?
I met two women off of there, and I was in high school, yo. I was seven. Oh. I was either 17 or 18, so I was a senior. I was smart. Like, I used to just be on there talking and having fun, but I waited till I got older and could really handle myself. And I met one, and she was not who she described, so I lied, and I was like, my dad's coming home, so she left. Sorry if you're listening.
Oh, were at your house?
Yeah. She couldn't beat me.
A man. It's different.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Men operate differently.
Yeah, we operate differently. But then there was another one.
Oh, my gosh.
There was another girl I met, and we got each other's number. We used to talk. She played video games, yo. Like, that was crazy. And we actually went on a date. I forgot what movie. I think we went to go see. Ooh, about to tell my age. Well, I already said my age. We went to go see Big Mama's House. I'm 99.9% sure we went to go see Big Mama's House in theaters. The first one. Erica, you don't even know what that is, do you?
I do. It's Martin Lawrence. I've seen it.
I keep forgetting that you are well-rounded and you're older than you actually are.
Yes.
Yeah, her name was Alexis. You know, I went off to college and I was like, I'm going to write you. I'm going to miss you. She's like, you going to get down there with them young girls and you're going to think about me. She ain't lie. No, I think I did write her, actually.
I'm talking about you.
I know. I think I did write her, actually. She was fine, too, man.
Ridiculous. I was on Black
Stranger
Planet.
Danger.
Black, tell us about your experiences on Black Planet.
We're not.
Okay. What do you mean?
We're not. But I was on Black Planet, and I have to be honest, I still have one really good friend who's like a homeboy now from Black Planet. But that was actually happened like not during my high school days. It happened when I moved to New Jersey. Yeah, well, I moved to Jersey to work at Mercedes-Benz. I don't know how or why, but I was on Black Planet. I was on BP, and I met him, and we still cool. Like, wow. To this day, it's crazy.
Do I still have any online friends from back in the day? My Xbox friends, yeah, I still got some back in the day. I'm not cool with anyone from the party line from back in the day. What else? Where else?
But you know who he was talking to.
Alexis, I still remember her.
Look her up on Facebook. See if you can find her.
I don't remember her last name. And I could shoot my shot. She was a little older than me. I think she was like 20, maybe 21. She's a little older than me. So we was right there. She should have wrote me back. I would have kept writing her. I actually liked her.
From what you remember.
Yeah, from what I remember. I remember enough to go on that date and not lie and say my dad come home.
Yeah. I wonder how that other one feels. She's probably gonna listen to that episode and be like, oh really?
Wouldn't that be wild if she emailed in like, it was me?
You know, that's why
would
nowadays.
That be her voice?
What happened? Would you say Dr. Dash?
Yeah. Oh, so you know that happens nowadays, right? Where people like on TikTok, they be like, find this person or do this or do that, and the people just be like, you know, that 7 degrees separation is real.
Oh my
exactly.
God. Why does you it say you entered the room again? Email. What is this?
Is it my virtual personal assistant?
That's what it says.
It's my virtual personal assistant. I'm Dr. Ashley Dash. Come on now. You know.
You want me to let your assistant in the room? I'm confused.
Sure. Because if they do, then we can record this and then I can turn it into a blog post. Like, you know, let's we want to get to business stuff. Like, listen.
You want to record?
I have upgraded. I have increased in life.
Oh. All right, sure. Here you go.
Recording in progress.
Just record now.
It's fine.
Okay. As long as you're cool. I'm cool too. Erica, like, no!
I'm sitting here trying to fight the fact that I'm like, dang, it's still Wednesday.
Yo, yes, I wish it was Friday. How's your week going, Dr. Dash?
You know, it's going pretty good. I cannot complain. I mean, I could, but I'm not going to, because when I be trying to complain with people, they don't understand my actual, like, my trauma or my complaints, because they don't sound like complaints to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried to, like, get away from that, because I know we're not trying to compare trauma, but the things that I complain about, sometimes the people I'm complaining to have no frame of reference, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, that's a problem. And I'm like, yeah, technically it is for me, but it don't sound like a problem when you're in different phases of life. So I'm going to say I'm doing pretty good. I don't have any complaints right now.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. I'm glad you don't have any. That's a good thing, especially for someone like you who's always dabbling in something meaningful and powerful, I think.
Yes, I have a number of projects, you know, are always in the background. You know, my spidey sense is always doing something, but I'm in transition. So transitions are always exciting. They're always a little bit scary and terrifying. And I'm always kind of like, am I sure this is what I really want to do or be when I grow up? So I'm in that space. It's like, wait, what do I really want life to be when I grow up?
When I grow up?
Yeah.
You grown.
No, I'm not. So if you look up, if you think about it, right? Like, you're going to live, if everything goes well, right? God willing, right? Another 60, 70 years, right? Because you can live to like 100, 125, right? So technically, you're only like 1/3 of your way through life. So I could have 3 or 4 more lives, you know, at, like when my birthday comes. Like, you know, like with 60 more years, I wouldn't even be 100 yet. And my great grandma lived to be like 99. So I still got a lot of living to do, a lot of experiences to experience, a lot of people to meet, a lot of lives to transform. So yeah.
I will definitely be 99 in 60 years.
I think about 60 years is a long time.
You know, you say that and that's true. But as we sit here and experience life on this earth, I feel like time is blazing by right now. I really do. Like, I woke up one day and I'm like, yo, you almost 40. What happened? Where did the time go? But talk to us more about the what kind of transitions?
Transitions. So for those of you who do not know, in 2019, I did transition and make my first big international move to Japan. Pre-COVID, we didn't know that COVID was on the horizon. So we got locked in Japan for a couple years during COVID. That was fun. I got COVID twice internationally, when international quarantine twice, one time in Japan, one time in South Korea. That was not exciting, but we made it through. And my time, my contract is over. So Japan is still on the list of places of like I want to visit, but I kind of discovered it's not a place that I wanted to live like full time. Like, it would take a lot for me to want to live there. So I'm currently scouting the world for where I want to live next. So currently I am back stateside, but I am not sure for how long.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
She says she's scouting the world, yo. I don't think y'all caught that. She is scouting the world. The world is a big, beautiful place.
It is. I really feel like the world is my oyster. And the amazing thing about living and working in Japan, it was I got to meet all these other amazing expats. That expat word is like under, you know, duress right now. There's lots of conversations of expat versus immigrant versus kind of all these things. So however you define being a foreigner, right, in your non-native land, that's me. But you meet all these other people, particularly Black people, who are just like traveling the world, living lives, setting up lives, getting married, like doing all these things in foreign countries that are not native to them. And your mind gets exposed and your eyes are open to all of these lifestyles and things that you want to do. So I'm like, Dubai looked kind of nice. You know, I went to Abu Dhabi. That was pretty cool. You know, that I think I could vibe there.
Hey.
And then I have a friend. He was like, hey, you know what? Rwanda's amazing. You know, maybe you should like check it out. You know, so like, you know, that's on the list in Spain. You know, they got their new remote worker policy. Like, you know, there's lots of things that you can like really get into around the world. But the really important thing for me to realize is that while I was away, my personal family dynamic changed so much. So we had a lot of people that unfortunately some people passed away. So a lot of those core memories and details I wasn't actually part of because I was isolated in Japan. So what I'm really focused on now is kind of creating foundational memories, reconnecting with people that I haven't gotten to see, seeing my nephews again in person. Like, we were doing the video thing, but that time zone difference, and I've tried it with you before, right? In different time zones, we had to kind of coordinate that. It's not the easiest thing to do when you're in Asia and the United States. So I'm really focusing on like what my mom and I call mom and daughter bingo, where we are creating memories and kind of establishing things we're going to do together for the rest of the year so that we can, you know, have fun and enjoy our lives and really take advantage of what life we do have, since we kind of missed a couple years. To be honest, it just didn't exist because of the separation.
Erica?
Aww. Like, that's just so sweet and cute. I like that. I do. And COVID has taken a lot away from everyone. So definitely being able to rebuild that and being able to, I guess, have like a redirection of around COVID with the mother-daughter bingo. I think that's just really sweet.
I think it's fun. Like, we are pretty close anyways, but just around having, it's really about having intentional time together.
Yeah.
Of course we can eat. Of course we can hang out. But like, is that what we really want to do? Or do we really want to travel? Do we really want to create these in the very emotive projects that feed both of us, right? So she's really into like volunteering, right? So we're gonna have a volunteer service project that we're gonna work on together, right? I like to travel, so we're gonna go to a city that neither one of us have been to, which is difficult because we both traveled a lot. So we're trying to find a city that both of us, neither one of us have visited, and kind of explore the city. So there's like a number of different things on the agenda. I don't want to share too much because we'll be kind of sharing that. But we're excited. It's going to be fun. And it's going to just be intentional time to have fun, make memories, and, you know, enjoy life.
Yeah. I feel like it means the most when you do have that type of intention, because I know people, they get lost in that day to day where it's everything's just the same routine, that you don't actually get the chance to sit down with the people that you care about and truly plan to do something together. So that sounds like a lot of fun. I hope you guys have a great time.
No, I we've already kind of started. And one of my college friends, she didn't know I was home because I was gonna surprise her. So she had her birthday and I just popped up at the restaurant. And she walked in, her face just dropped. She was like, what are you doing? Like, it was the funniest, most amazing thing. But it was just like for me, it was like a core memory. It's like, I can do this. Like, this is amazing. And then it goes back to like what Rob and I have always talked about, really having the lifestyle and the money and the type of job that allows you to do these types of things, right?
Right.
It's one thing to work and have to like always be working, be worried about money, be focused on work and blah, 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 blah. But what about these really cool, amazing jobs that allow you this flexibility to have these types of experiences, which is really, I'm really excited about to focus on this year moving forward.
And are you doing like any like scrapbooking or anything like that too, to just have those memories?
Yes, we have a giant bingo card. Actually, we customized something in Canva. And we laminated it so we can write in kind of the things that we're doing. And then every time we kind of do something, we take a picture and kind of do like a blackout on the bingo card. So like, I'll send you guys pictures. I know the viewers can't see it, but I can find it. We'll find the link so you guys can see what I'm talking about. But yes, it's just like a visual way for us to remember, like, this is going to be an amazing year. Like, we're going to have so much fun.
And I feel like you can't even like, you can't let the bad days get to you because you always have something to look forward to.
Yes. So we have an event at the end of the month that we're going to. I won't share that. And we have another event like the following week. So like, we have things like planned, like we have organized and sat down and like, this has been like a thing. We have strategized. We have like, she's chosen a number of events and things. I've chosen a number of events and things, and together we're just gonna make it work. So just excited to share. And it's been interesting because every time I've kind of just shared it because I'm excited or she's excited, people are like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. I want to try it too. And I'm like, great. Let's like, it can't hurt to spend more time with people. Like, I don't think that's gonna make anyone be angry, right? Spend more time with your parent, grandparent, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, children, whatever, right? That's what life is really about.
Oh, yeah. See, that's why this weekend I'm going to visit Carl Van. Carl, what up? Wait, that's going to be in the past now. So I'm talking to the past and the future during the present. And
you don't listen to the episode and be so confused.
I know, right? I've already seen Carl Van at this point. and someone else. Hopefully. Yeah. Now I'm going to see her. Yeah.
He said, I'm going to look back. That tone changes. I'm going to see her.
Yeah.
But, you know, you pointed out, you just pointed out something very important. Spending that time is important. Even though I myself have just always lived elsewhere and away from my family a majority of the time, now that I'm back in South Carolina spending time with my mom, like, she be acting stank sometimes, but I know, like, she missed me so much, and she's used to having me around, and it's like, I've been kind of, like, reminding her, like, don't get too used to this. I ain't got, like, 3 or 4 more months. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, it's time to go. You know, I got things to do, got to get my own space back, but I just had to rebuild, and now we there, you know, especially with the help of Dr. Dash here.
That's what I do. The one thing I haven't shared with anyone that I can share, right? I try to give you exclusives, like on some things.
Yes, please.
We do have like a trademark that finally came through. Been working on it for a while, which is called Experience Career Freedom. Oh. Right. And that is the banner that we will be moving forward for all of my coaching, resume writing, people in corporate America to kind of move forward around. How do you want to live your life? Right? What do you actually want to do? And of course, you know, he's had this conversation with me. How much money do you want to make? That's my favorite question, right? How do you want to live your life? And there's no one way to do it, but there's like a framework that I've said, hey, if you know these 3 or 4 things, then you can experience career freedom on your own terms. And that's really what we're focusing on moving forward, because that's really that's the goal. Maybe you don't want to work 9 to 5. Maybe you want to be a full-time entrepreneur. Maybe you want to be, you know, a part-time gig worker. Like, everybody judges these things so harshly, and you don't have to, right? This is your life, your one life in this human form, right? So you should really take advantage of it and take the time to self-reflect and say, what kind of life do I want? And what type of job would I get to support that? Or even job, what kind of money, or how would I get money to support that? Or do I even need money? Do I need land? So we're having these very interesting conversations with my clients and with myself and with my family and friends around, when I say experience career freedom, what comes up for you? Because for everybody, it something different shows up. When I say Dr. Dash has experienced career freedom, most people know that's a passport involved. There's some plane tickets, right? There's some flexibility. Yeah. You know, I'm going to be on someone's plane. By the way, I did a Delta One on accident for the first time. Was it last year?
You did who what now?
Delta One. Have you done that?
I don't even know. You're talking to somebody who ain't really. Go ahead.
Okay, so I like to travel first class, but first class is very expensive, particularly on international flights. So I can't always, that's not always in the budget. Okay, let's just be honest. And when I was traveling, I got the opportunity to upgrade for a very nominal fee. So thank you, Delta, to go to Japan on first class, which they call Delta One, right? So I'm supposed to be like, you know, the person, like, I've done this before, I've experienced this, and that's cool, right? So that's how I acted. But inside, I was freaking out because it was amazing, okay? You get your own little separate entrance, you know, you get your own little pod. You got a little, if you're on an airplane, you have a little tiny door that closes. I feel like,
I feel like
you've arrived, right?
Like on the Instagram videos.
Here's the thing. You know this, Rob knows this. I'm notorious for being super private. There's pictures and videos, but it never got posted because then people were like, where are you going? They got asked questions.
That part. Money up front.
So that part is not sharing, but I think it's just for me, that's something that I've wanted to do. I've got to do it when I went to Thailand, when I lived in Japan, I went to Thailand, I took business class and kind of had what they call it, the lie flat seat, where you like the chair turns into a bed. I've never had like a pod on a plane. So this is my first time having my personal pod on a plane and your little everything set up. And I was like, when I sat there, I was like, yes, this is the life I can embody and experience career freedom for me. This is a life that I want to live. Other people, like, they never want to do that, right? That's not important to them, but it's important to me. So that's what I've really been focusing on. Does this feel like what I want? And do I want to experience? And if this is the case, cool. How do I fund this? How do I make this happen?
How can I make this my new norm? Yeah.
This is my new normal, right? And sometimes new normals can be expensive, or they could be just radically different from how you were raised. It could be a different experience. People could disagree with, well, maybe you shouldn't do that. Well, this isn't your life. So I can decide what that looks like, right? I'm excited about just a new phase of not only myself, but my clients too, as we take this new journey towards experiencing career freedom.
I needed to hear that, huh? Let me give a word of praise.
Hey, world, hey, world, what did it do, hey, world?
That is, sorry, that's new to you. But that, you know, we had, like you said, we had that conversation. And really, I would say probably about last year, those things we talked about really started to hit home. When I really had to, like, life forced me to stop and slow down and look around me and see what I had available. And the sky was still the limit. It's like, all right, what you gonna do? What do you want to do next? And I really started to look at where I wanted to be, what I wanted to do, what it's gonna take to get there. And I had to make some very big personal changes that most people probably wouldn't notice. Which is funny, they still aren't picking up on it. And one of those things was putting some of the stuff down that just wasn't, what's the word I'm looking for? I was doing too much, too many side things. Like, people still ask me to DJ. People still ask me real estate questions. I'm like, yo, though, I don't do those things anymore. Like, it's been years since I've done these things. We're talking like 4 or 5 years since I've done these things. I was like, y'all don't see that I put those things down? Like, I had to put those down to make room for the life that I want. Like, all right, it's time to put this stuff down, make time for this, and make the moves towards this. And part of that is investing your time into the right things and just changing your mindset. So I'm definitely feeling the vibe of what you're talking about way more now that I really see, like, I want to do these things and I need to get there. So yeah, this career freedom, I need it. Buy it.
I think everyone needs it. And I think everyone wants it, but they don't take the time to invest in it. Mm-hmm. They don't take the self-reflection time, because these are just, most of them are questions, right? And like, the things, I have to be honest, like, I do this at the executive level. So of course I can walk people through, but I don't necessarily have to, right? But what people really, I've learned, need help with is not actually answering the questions, right? It's more about the validation and like the process of how to get to that space. So like, that gap. So you, like, you're at point A, you want to get to point B, and there's like a big empty circle. How do I do that? Like, that's what I actually help people do, right? But for the most part, people know kind of the life they want to live if they just sit down for 5 minutes and ask themselves like 3 questions, right? But the questions that I ask are so simple, but they make people so uncomfortable. Anytime I bring up money, everybody just gets rigid. Like, it gets real tight all of the time. And Rob knows I'm notorious. That's where I start. We all gonna be uncomfortable together. How much money do you want to make, right? How much is that on an annual basis? How much is that on a monthly basis? Have you considered taxes? Like, is the money that you want to make gonna support the lifestyle you want to live? The answer is probably no, because you haven't sat down to do the numbers, to do the work. When you do the work, like, opportunities show up, things happen. Like, that's how I live the life. People ask me questions. How do I get to the life that I want? I spend time with myself. I spend time with prayer and talking to God and asking questions and researching things that I can't afford at the moment. But when it shows up, I'm gonna be ready.
Yes. Calculate. What I, this is probably, as an adult, you learn that what you make and what you can do with that money changes drastically year over year. Like, my old comfort number is almost nothing now. And it's just me. No kids, no wife, no nothing. My car is paid off. No more student loans, praise God. But like, for me to truly be comfortable in the cities and places where I want to be, and I'm not like a big luxurious dude, people know that. Truthfully speaking, I need at least 100K at a minimum. Like, any, for me to live the way that I want to live quite comfortably, that's a good starting point. Beneath that, it's going to be a lot of still what I would consider grinding to get to that 100K, because the world is expensive. Like, just to live. Like, I'm someone who goes to work, who come, huh?
Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Okay, America is expensive.
Is it?
Certain places in America are expensive.
You said South Carolina, which is one of the not expensive state. So is it?
So it depends on where you are in South Carolina. Columbia is still good.
I mean, I'm gonna say Charleston is a little okay. I can say Charleston.
Greenville and Charleston are ridiculous. Right. And but even Spartanburg, where I'm at, like it's like, huh?
I mean, so here's the thing. I'm a fan of six figures. You know, that's where we start. So like, I get that. However, my number really hasn't changed that much from like, I'll say 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
right? My locations have changed, but my budget has changed. Like what I value has changed. My quality of living,
mm-hmm.
the investments that I made some investments years ago that basically almost cost me my job at the time, to be clear. But I was like, I need to do this anyways. There's something in me was just so strong that I needed to do this. And because I did that, 10-ish years ago or more, like I'm reaping the rewards. So the things that people are like, oh, this is super expensive. And I'm like, I don't have to pay for that. Like that budget item doesn't exist. Right. So when I say, is it, I feel like some people they discount like looking at their budget and working towards what they don't necessarily need. Like, so yes, I was on Delta One, right? Let's be clear. I was on Delta One, but no one actually knows the amount of things I let go of, the amount of mm-hmm. payments that I had to pay up, like all the things it took so that I could get on Delta One. Cause for me, that's a priority, right?
Yeah. P word. Oof.
Yeah. Like that's a whole separate conversation. Like, oh yeah, you just did that XYZ. I did. But how long did it take? What did I give up? What did I not do? What did I not eat? What did I not party? Did I not go to? What did I tell people no to? No one hears about any of that. No one sees any of that.
And they don't ask.
And they don't ask. And typically, I don't volunteer. I used to try to like educate people. Sometimes I'm like, when you don't know, it doesn't matter. But so when you say life is expensive, I'm like, is it? That's the question. Is when you look at your budget. Is it as expensive as you think it is, or you maybe need to make some more cuts that maybe make you uncomfortable, but set you up for the future in a way that no one can really prepare you for?
I have to split the difference. I do think it's expensive, but I'm in the phase of paying stuff off. So like I live a very minimalistic life. Like I go to the grocery store every 2 weeks. I might eat out twice a week maybe, and it's like a little something, and I don't go anywhere. Like I go to work, I go home. Like me going to see Carl Van is the first time me going anywhere or doing anything since homecoming in November, and all that was staying at my homeboy's house, not getting a hotel room. I didn't pay for any food, I didn't pay for any drinks. Literally it just cost me gas and a step show ticket. Like I've been penny pinching because of those things you just said. I'm like, yo, you moving, do you want an apartment? No, you want a house. So you need, you know, 3% down minimum. I said, okay, so that means I need to save at least up to 6% cushion, right? So you're doing all these things and you're crunching the numbers. And yeah, you have to make those sacrifices. And it's like you said, people really don't get it. And people will get upset or feel a type of way like, oh, you got money, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but I'm also not indulging like you are. Come look at my life day to day and see why I have this money and how I got there. Like I had to give all this stuff up. Like I get invited to places and invited to stuff all the time. And I be wanting to go. Ooh, I be wanting to go sometimes, but I'm like, save for a house. We saving for a house, or we saving for this. So we got to get over these hurdles. Then we can start to really enjoy. Because if I enjoy too much now, you fall back into those bad habits, and then you're stuck for another year, you're stuck for another 2 years, and then you're back in that cycle. But to your point, though, I think once I pay some more stuff off and I get this, make this next career change, my perspective will be different because of my life and my lifestyle and the sacrifices I would have already made. Like, I have a new comfort zone now. And then you realize, I ain't need those things anyway.
You know what? That's a whole separate conversation we're not going to get into. But you know, I think that's just important. And like that's what I think I would have told like my younger self. That is like to save more and things like that. But you know, I have a remote job now, so I can work from anywhere, you know, in the world. So to me, that's not, I don't have
some
to go.
Praise.
Here world, here world.
That's my goal. You already know.
Yeah. So I have a remote job, so I can work, you know, from anywhere, as long as I have internet connection, and I don't have a car payment. Like all the things that people like have, like I don't have. But there was an intention of intentionally done years ago. Like there's very few people that just kind of arrive at this place all of a sudden. It does happen for some people, but most people, there was an action plan they had to put in place. There was a to-do list. There were some things that had to get done to get to this point, right? There were some sacrifices I had to make. Like, I love being, like, an international person. Mm-hmm. However, I don't discount that I do miss family moments, right? There's a balance to that, right? So I just think people just need to self-reflect about what they want. And if they want it, then go for it. Like, listen, anything's possible. My life is a crazy... That's what he's talking about in the book. My life is crazy.
Your life is crazy.
And anything is possible at this point. After what I've seen, experienced, people that I've met. Did I tell you that time? I was in a program through South Carolina, and I met the founder of MapQuest. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I was just so excited. And I was like, the world is really small. Like, people know people, and you just have to just like be open to it all.
Yes, you definitely have. That's the other thing, man. Like, you have to be open. Like, if I were to throw a party and invite 30 of the people that I'm cool with or hang with, I have conversations with, my party would look ridiculous. Y'all would see people of different colors, nationalities, heights, lifestyles, and y'all be like, and y'all would look around like, why am I in here with this person? And I could stand in the center of that room because I relate to all those people, and I'm not afraid to delve into someone else's world and pick their brain and find that common ground and say, oh, that's cool, yeah, we connect on this. Like, we don't have to worry about all this other complicated stuff, and we don't have to connect on every level and everything, but we have this connection. I respect that about you, you respect this about me, we can be cool. A lot of people can't do that. They want to put everyone in this box, and they feel like everyone has to be this little thing. And it's like, when you open your mind and you just open yourself up, it just, like, it exposes you to so many more opportunities. Like, y'all just have no idea. Like, there's stuff I can't even talk about right now that we about to have going on the podcast. More guests. But if I had to give y'all some advice tonight, I would definitely say, make sure you just keep an open mind. And it's okay to be uncomfortable sometimes, because sometimes that discomfort is what you need to find a new comfort zone.
I would say that's so true. And that's how I ended up doing what we're doing right now, which is being a HR background person, right? Being a non-tech person in tech. Okay. So we are going to shout out our brother, Stevie Carl Van, because he gets all my questions. I've just had this like burning desire to help people with their resumes, because I just know that resumes are a key, not the only key, but the key that I've used to unlock money and finances and what I call career freedom, right? Mm-hmm. So we've been doing this, I'm not sure how many years now, but I can't get to everyone, right? I just can't touch everyone. And people need different things. So we're just like, well, how can we, you know, the advent of AI, how can we make this work? So we've been working on some things in the background, and it's working, and we're figuring things out. But it's like, this is totally 100,000% uncomfortable, right? I'm an expert in what I do, but trying to have these systems talk and find the people and processes and streamline people emailing things, and things be breaking up. Like, oh my gosh, what did I do? What did I sign up for? Like, I don't think I should have done this.
You said that word, streamline. Woo, when someone breaks the line or something don't connect, you're like, no!
I mean, that is not my gift, to be honest. I'm gonna be straight up. I have a project manager that I hired to help me with those processes, but he's actually one of my old coworkers from back in the day. So like, that networking piece, we just stayed in contact, right? We didn't talk all the time, but we stayed cool enough where we could like reach out from time to time and have conversations. So he's actually the person who's helping me, you know, build this new tech product that we just launched. We're still trying to figure out. It was supposed to launch, like, to be honest, like 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. It didn't quite happen, but we have beta testers who are doing things. So like whenever I share kind of what we're doing, people are like, oh, that's what it does. yeah, sign us up. So we're trying to like manage that process before we like open the floodgates and be like, okay, it's available now. It's working. All the bugs and kinks are worked out, right? Because we're
Yeah.
still like learning things. But it's been amazing that people believe and they're willing to put like their dollars and say, yeah, sign me up. I trust you. Let's do it. I'm just like, let's get it done. Like you just take a deep breath and be like, okay, let's go.
Yeah. I mean, and you just said something so powerful talking about connections, and I'm like, can we talk about what you're doing a bit more and what I'm
We
signed up for?
can, we
Okay,
can.
I'm gonna get there in a second, but it's the connections. Like, again, back to what I said about opening your mind and being open, and what Dr. Dash said. Met her through Carl Van. Met Carl Van because we're fraternity brothers. Me and Carl Van met like 20. Oh God, how old am I? 2007, 2008, somewhere around there. In passing. Years later, I do real estate. I saw he did photography. I'm like, hey, can you take some pictures of, the properties for us? So he became my photo guy for my real estate firm. Then he was working on his first app, the Greek Moji app. And he was talking to me about it, and we started working together all of a sudden. And then that fizzled out. That might still be a thing, I think. I think it was ahead of its time. And now we're working on Pass the Peas app together. So someone I met in passing, we talked every now and again, but we like each other's work ethic. And I was like, yo, you don't have to do everything by yourself. That's another thing I think that's actually toxic, especially in our cultures. Everybody thinks they gotta be self-made. I gotta do it by myself. I gotta do it on my own. No, I like working with people because I ain't gotta do all the stuff. Like, I love Erica to death. Like, Erica has lightened my load with this podcast like you would not believe. Like, I'm like, oh my God, thank God for her. Like, even if it's two or three things that people may think is insignificant, no, y'all have no idea, because she takes on the stuff that I don't like to do. And now I think she's starting not to like to do it. But
I definitely forget a lot of things.
me too, me too. But just your presence alone, and that, I mean, that's another connection. She was an intern, and now she's on the show, and she contributes very well. So like, those connections can help lead you to the next big thing. And then, back to you, Dr. Dash. I mean, Black Man Day, and now. Can we talk about resume ATM?
We can talk about Resume ATM. Resume ATM is our new tech product where we are helping specific, we work with everyone, right? But I have an emphasis. I always have a goal of helping our Black college educated professionals really find their dream job in corporate America, right? So what we do is we customize your resume to make sure it's ready. We do find your dream job and we actually apply on your behalf. So it's a three-step process that we do, leveraging people, processes, and AI to kind of speed up the process because what we discovered through customer interviews and conversations with people is a resume piece. People kind of like, I kind of got that. Like, there's still some horrible resumes, but not too many anymore. Like, I feel like most people, like, it's been a new industry, so people are pretty good on that. Finding jobs, I think the issue is people are kind of finding the same jobs, and our goal is to find some different ones maybe you haven't seen in the search request, right? There's like another science to that. I don't want to get too dorky, but like that's finding a match for a job is like dating, right? And if you don't really know what you're doing, then that can cause some problems, right? So that's a separate thing. But what we actually found was a pain point of actually how Resume ATM actually launched was job applications. People absolutely hate completing job applications, right? So we're like, oh, let's automate that, and we did. And once we automated like that last week, they were like, oh, sign me up, right?
Yeah,
Let's go,
listen.
let's do. We were like, okay. So that's what we are currently, I can't even say building, we built it. We've had several people come through and test, not even test it, but use the service. And right now we're just making it easier, better, making sure like the resume is tight, making sure like the job postings are actually the jobs you're interested in, and making sure like the application process is going. Because like by the time like someone responds to, hey, like this is what we want to apply for you, and then you apply, like jobs can expire. So there's things
Yes.
happening on the tech side that we have to like get faster on, and we're working in the background. But like sometimes it feels a little overwhelming because although I have someone helping me with the processes, I still have to go meet people and talk about this new product and say, hey, this is what we're doing. Would you like to sign up and answer these questions? And then, oh, this billing thing didn't work. And oh, this tech thing didn't, you know, and it's just, you know, building as we, I can't even say building as we fly, like improve, because it's built now, but improving as we fly, like make sure everything is talking to each other. And I have to be honest, I never really saw myself in tech, although I worked in Silicon Valley. So you would think I would have seen it, but I was an HR professional.
Yeah.
Right. So I never saw myself as a tech person. I still really don't view myself as a tech person, but we're definitely in the tech space and having conversation and pitching, and it's its own animal. And it's been a wild, crazy, but exciting ride.
You out here helping people find a dream jobs in tech somewhere you never thought you would be. Look at, yo, your story. So y'all need to go back and listen to our other episodes. I don't even know how many episodes we have together at this point. 3, I think. And this might be maybe 4. This is either 4 or 3. Y'all need to go back and listen so y'all can understand and see kind of where Dr. Dash started. Because it was like
unemployed college graduate. That's where we started. Unemployed college graduate. That's how we got here.
The polar opposite of where she is now. I love that. And I greatly appreciate you wanting to do this service and take this burden off of people's shoulders. As someone who was unemployed at one point in time in the current era, this was 2020, Jesus, when was this? 2023. 2023. Like sitting in front of your computer on XYZ job site. I'm not shouting y'all out because y'all not paying me. And y'all selling my information because I'm getting all these crazy emails and phone calls.
I know who you're talking about. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think all of them do it, honestly. Because I'm like, who is this? I'm like,
LinkedIn. I gotta plug LinkedIn. Y'all know, if you know me, you know I love me some LinkedIn.
Me too.
Okay. LinkedIn is legit. There are some scammers on there. They starting to get in there. But for the most part, they legit. And I've gotten 2 of my 6-figure jobs from LinkedIn.
The current job I have now came from LinkedIn. Yeah. LinkedIn works.
LinkedIn is out here.
Because, you know, the recruiter be right there. I mean, you can message him, but like, that's... Anyway, that's what's up. But yeah, like, that stress of sitting in front of my computer, reading description after description after description, and then looking at my resume and seeing if I need to change anything or take anything out, and then looking at the salary and location, like, and then when you click on the application, upload your resume, then you hit the next page.
Gosh.
Now into your job history, but I just gave you my resume. And then you say at the near the very end, why are you a good fit for this job? You just had me give you all the information, including the cover letter that will answer this, yet you want me to type all, I'm done. You get defeated, especially when you look and it says, which LinkedIn changed. Because that number used to say such and such applied. That number used to be, they used to show the number. Like 3,500 people, now it just says over 100.
Oh, that's because they put it behind a paywall because it's more information. But that still happens. Because like on average, you know, I'm getting a little nerdy, but let's say average out across all industries, right? I'm talking about like corporate America business. There's about 250 applicants for every job, right? And I'm a person, like, we don't care about the candidate pool. Like, I'm a one of one, okay? So it really don't matter to me how many people apply. Like, I've applied by, like, 400 people and I've been selected for a job. So, like, the number doesn't really matter as much, but it's let you know the interest level. But, of course, you know, the less people that apply, which means kind of like, I like those positions because it's highly unique, highly qualified. Like, the positions I'm applying for now, they're popular now. I like to be on the cutting edge of positions before they become popular. So for example, when I applied for my job in Japan, the word I used was global leadership development, right? If you type that in LinkedIn, you're going to see hundreds, if not thousands of jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I typed it in back in the day, 3 jobs popped up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what we're looking to integrate into Resume ATM, where like you are like ahead of the trend, right? So that's what we're working on in the background as we're also applying for positions, you know, like regular positions every day. So it's like this balance of what do you want to be when you grow up, right? How much money do you want to make? And how can we find the trend before it becomes popular so we can get you in and know that you have transferable skills, you're qualified, and all those wonderful things.
Look at you just thinking ahead. Thinking ahead for us. Because I would have never thought of that strategy, actually. That's very, Erica, we need to think ahead in the podcasting game, right? You writing these notes down? Are you taking notes from Dr. Dash here?
No, I'm taking it all in. I'm just like, wow.
Am I overwhelming you? I'm sorry, Erica.
No, you know, you're not overwhelming. That's why I've been on mute, because I'm like, wow, interesting point. I was like, okay, add that one. I'm just sitting here taking it all in.
Yes, and I need to make sure y'all stay connected. After this, that was for her. That's for Erica. She knows why I did that. Because that's another reason why, again, Erica is like a prime example of why I do this podcast. So the people younger than me who have a good head on their shoulders, I wish when I was your age, I had people like Dr. Dash and myself around just to talk to me like this plainly on my level and not trying to tell me what to do, but just giving me information that I can use or figure out how to use, even if it doesn't click. Because like I just said earlier, it don't always click right away. It might happen 2-3 years later. Sometimes it clicks 10 years later, but it'll never click if you never get it. So right. I'm definitely glad you're here to get that. What questions you got, Erica? Me and Dr. Dash, we can talk all night. So,
yeah.
I think you mentioned a couple of things. So one, that you're living in Japan, I was saying what has been like the best thing about it. And then you mentioned also that you were overwhelmed at a certain point. And I wanted to ask you, has there ever, like, how do you manage that? And also, like, the blockers and challenges that you face, like, right now you said that it's the AI and trying to navigate that type of thing where you get to identify the trends ahead of time so that you can give clients the best chance possible to get into these positions that they want.
Sure. So the best thing about living in Japan, this is going to sound so vain, and I'm completely comfortable with it.
Here we go.
Was that I got to live in Japan, right?
Yeah. Like,
it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience for me, right?
Yeah.
Again, you may not know my background, but I grew up in South Carolina on a dirt road, and little girls on a dirt road, single family, you know, raised single parent environments typically don't live and move and work in Japan, specifically for a corporate headquarters when you don't speak the language, right? Mm-hmm. So I was just like a little unicorn in a way. And the coolest thing was just being able to see myself in different culture, realize how American I was, because I never viewed myself as American. I always viewed myself as African American. So there was some like identity uniqueness that kind of showed up. But I met some of the most amazing people that I never would have gotten the opportunity to meet. Like, I have friends now, not associates. I have close friends, not people that I network with, like people that pull up for your girl, people that pick up the phone for your girl, right? And I just didn't think that would happen moving to Japan. I thought that I would be isolated, and I was, but not in the way that is typical, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I encourage everyone to at least visit Japan. I'm not going to say everyone should move there. I think it takes a special type of person to live there, specifically if you're not living on a military base or living in a place that is heavily have a lot of expat community or like a lot of foreigners there. I wasn't in a space like that. So I found it difficult, particularly as COVID kind of locked down. Like, you know, you think it's cool until you have to go to the grocery store and like again and pull out your Google chat and have to translate again. Or you go to the post office and it takes like 2 hours to do something that in America it could take like 20 minutes, right? Mm. So like those types of things to me got to be overwhelming, right? It got to be like too much. Like the novelty wore off very quickly. But then you learned that you wanted to live life. But then I came back to America and I was like, this ain't it. So then I went back because I thought that was it. And I was like, this is not it. So that's where we're visiting countries in the world to figure out, well, what does home feel like? What does that look like? And what is lifestyle that I want? So I would say that for my experience in Japan. You mentioned being overwhelmed. You mean with the app, with the tech side? Or
yes. Just overall, and how do you manage and navigate that? Or like, what's your advice to your clients when they feel overwhelmed and when it comes to like the job market?
So I always tell everyone to ask for help. I am so glad that I am healed from that black woman superwoman syndrome to be totally 100% independent. That is not me anymore. I am healed. I ask for help. I ask for help all the time. I'm sending text messages. I'm sending voice notes. I'm sending emails. Somebody knows the answer. I just need to find out who it is. So I am an advocate of asking for help. If I'm overwhelmed, I need some help. Personally, professionally, like somebody got to know something. And what I've learned is if you are passionate about what you're doing, if you are generally trying to help people will see that and they will help you. They
That
will
part.
volunteer their time, their money, their resources. When I was in Japan this last time, we were focusing on a program called, we haven't really talked about this, but called Healing Work Hurt, right? Where essentially we're helping people to process a trauma that they experience in corporate America, right? And I have a person who was part of National Black Man Day, right? That networking, everything comes together. He works in gaming and he actually has a game dedicated to like working through that. I was like, what if we did an event together? He was like, let's do it. So then we took this idea to our friends who are the owners of Tokyo Black Professionals. They were like, yeah, totally. Well, when we have our next event, do it. So we did it and they recorded it for us, right? And
Nice.
now we're helping all of these people because we just decided that this is something that we're both good at. We put it together and the world works, right? If I would have done that by myself, I would have been 1000% overwhelmed, right? But I wasn't. I had a partner in crime, right? So he did the gamification part. I did the part that I'm comfortable with. We partnered with people that we already knew. And the people we already knew actually got the videographer for us to record everything.
Wow.
And he showed up, he mic'd us up, he did the lighting, he did all of these things for us, right? They just told us, what do you need? They provided location, like how much effort? I've tried to do that on my own before and I have failed miserably, or I have had like one person show up, right? We had a room full of people. We had people online. We had people up in the middle of the night in America trying to get to Japan, right? Virtually for this event because we asked for help. No one was really like overwhelmed. Everyone knew what their role was. Everyone kind of knew what it was. And it was amazing. So if you're overwhelmed, ask for help. There's resources. There's more. If you just look through your phone, you have more resources than you think you have. Like, just ask the question. The worst they can say is no, then move to the next person. You have a phone list full of people. Just
Yes.
ask. Whenever I have a question, I'm like, yo, Rob, he just wake up to like a crazy voice note, crazy text message.
1000%. I do
Right?
that.
And he'll be like, I don't know. Let me find out. And then he'll connect me to the person who could, right? Like maybe it's not him, maybe just like an introduction. So if you're overwhelmed, I would definitely tell people to ask for help. That's actually why I exist. Like I exist to help other people. I create safe spaces so they can articulate these things. So if you're overwhelmed, ask for help. That's my number one thing now. I think you had another question, but I don't quite recall it because I went on my rant.
Neither can I, so that's okay.
We'll have to come back.
Yeah, at one point I was sitting there like I asked her three questions and I can't remember
Yes,
that last one.
900 questions at once.
Yes, I did. But it's okay.
It is. It is. I still do that. Get excited. That means we're into the conversation. Oh my goodness, resume ATM. And you call it resume ATM. What made you come up with that name?
Because I am a money girl and I think of resumes as money, right? So my other product that I've launched, I do that in groups now, but we don't like advertise it like publicly, but it's called Profitable Resume, right? And that's because that's what I call it. Like, your resume should be profitable. It should make you money, right? So when I teach about resume writing and editing and things like that, we talk about every space, every white page, everything on the page. Think of it in dollar and cents, right? If you think about your resume from that perspective, your resume may not look as expensive as you want it to look, right? Which means you're not going to get paid what you want to get paid. So that's just my personal philosophy around resume. Resumes in general, like they are pieces, they're money. Like it's a transaction. It's money, right? Just like a $20 bill, $100 bill, your resume. It's a $100,000 bill. It'd be $250,000 bill, right? If you use it the right way, it's gonna give you money. So that's my philosophy. So then I was like, okay, but profit resume is for like higher level positions. That's for like executive. Like that's when I'm like really like in that space. So I needed something that made sense for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Who maybe they weren't really focusing on a six-figure job. They just needed a job to give them benefits or a job that could give them some stability while they look for their six-figure job. So I was like, what if we combine the two in Resume ATM? That's kind of where it came out. And when I say it, most people kind of instinctively get it. They kind of like, oh, you're going to work on Resume, help me get a job offer. Yes, that's what we're going to do. Like, it just kind of worked together.
Yeah.
So that's actually where it came from, because my philosophy is that your resume should make you money. I always say people have degrees. No one asks to see your degree, right? They'll verify that you have one. They'll never ask to see it. Everyone asks to see your resume. So we need to make sure that it's profitable and it makes you money.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. And you'd be surprised. Someone came up to me today and said they didn't have a resume.
Oof.
I will leave that where that is. We can talk about that off air. But I was in my head, because I had to remain professional. I said, ow! Like, I had so many questions.
But how you get here?
You said it, not me.
Networking. You don't naturally need a resume to get a job.
No, right? You don't. You don't need a resume to get to get a job at certain levels.
I mean, I know some people have really bad resumes, but their resume wasn't the main source of their job searching strategy. We'll say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is I'm going back to my experience. I was an unemployed college graduate, right? In 2007, 2008, during the Great Recession, I didn't have a network. Okay, I'm African-American female. I wasn't exposed to a lot of people in corporate America. I didn't have the people to make a phone call. I didn't have the resources to be going to these events or paying money to parties, organizations to network and meet people and do these things. The only thing I had was myself and my laptop. And I said, if I'm going to stand out, they need to know that I'm qualified. They need to know that I stand above the rest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get, at the time, I wasn't getting any interviews, right? Like, I was applying for positions. They was like, nope, nope, nope. Thank you for applying, but thank you for applying. Thank you for applying, right? You get that, you know, sometimes you apply for a job and the whole screen disappears. You don't even get a confirmation email that you're...
Listen,
like, the stuff that I talk about now is real for me because it was real for me.
Yeah.
So I came from that space where I had to learn without a network, without a support system, right? Because I was by myself at the time. How do I get a job? And the only way I could get a job, because they weren't taking applications anymore in person, everything was online. So how do I stand out? What do I need to say to get to the interview, right? Because I wasn't even getting there. Once we got to the interview, then you have to learn, oh, there's certain things you got to say in the interview. There's certain things you got to wear at the interview, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, as an unemployed college graduate in 2007, right before the Great Recession when no one was hiring, that's where I battled to begin my career. And everything since then I have learned, I teach my clients and we talk about, because all of it is important, because I remember vividly not having a bank account. I remember vividly last $50, right? Before, and I didn't have a job. I remember vividly calling my mom in tears saying, you paid, we have all these student loans and I don't have a job, right? Like, these are things that are real for people that I was embarrassed and ashamed and frustrated to talk about. And it took a while for me to be able to vocalize it. But once I did, I learned that I was not alone. And I was the person that was able to talk about it publicly so other people can come to a space of safety and sharing, so we can actually move forward and be excited about jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I was an unemployed college graduate. I am not ashamed. I've been unemployed after my six-figure job. It's cool, but I don't worry about that anymore. I know I can get another one. I apply to my proper resume, put my action in step, and I get a job. Like, now it sounds so casual.
It does. I was about to say, excuse me.
It sounds really casual, but you have to remember this came from a place of hurt and devastation. Like, even before I moved to Japan, I was facing foreclosure because I didn't have a job again, right? We had to go to God, like, yo, I know how to do this. What's up? Right? Like, we had to have a breakdown conversation, and he had to reveal some things to me that I was unaware of, right, that was holding me back. And once we assessed that, we got back to it. I was in Japan in six figures again, right? So everything I teach, these aren't things like, I know some people like buy programs or they invest in things like, oh yeah, I'm a resume writer now. Like, nah, this from the beginning. Like, there's books on this. There's information on this. Like, I've shared, like, if you follow me for a long time, you can find everything I'm telling you right now. because this is my personal story, which is why I be getting some crazy results sometimes. People are like, how'd you do that? Because I started from the bottom. Like, literally from the bottom, and now we're here. Like, this has been an ongoing struggle, but now it's not anymore, and I'm excited about that. And I want other people not to struggle in that area either.
I'm so glad you just surmised your story, because, you know, we've talked about a lot of things on here, and you heard where she started and where she is now. Y'all, the journey is not always, most of the time, the journey is not pretty. Like, I'm thinking about through my own story right now. Ugh. Couch hopping.
I've done that too.
One job at a time, two jobs at a time, three jobs at a time. LLC, like, you just scraping, trying to find your way, trying to get balance, trying to figure things out, and the support you need or the people you need, you just don't have it, or they're busy right alongside you trying to do the same thing, so they can't even help you. It is very real, and I just love conversations like this, and it reminds me to stay grounded. That's why I'm so grounded, much like yourself. I'm so calm, I'm so cool, collected when things happen, because I'm like, you know where I've been? Like, do you know where I've been? Where I've been in my car, taking everything out my little center console, trying to find quarters and nickels and dimes and pennies so I go eat off the dollar menu. Like, I've been there. You know, I've been there too. So I definitely appreciate you for sharing that story. I only got one more question. Well, before I ask
the question,
huh?
I want to say, I think that's funny around, because I've done the console thing where you look for the change, right, for the money. But now it's like a full circle moment now, because whenever I like go into my wallet now, I'll pull out change, but I don't even know what it is. Like, oh, that's Japanese yen, or that's, you know, Arab money, or that's Indian money. It's like, it's just like, for me, it's like, I remember when I didn't have anything and now I have money, different currencies. To me, sometimes I'm like, God, this is wild. Like, this is wild.
Praise.
So yeah.
Here world, here, where did it go? Here world. From no money to money all from all around the world.
Yeah. Super cool. Question, sorry, go ahead.
When's the book coming out?
Which book are you referring to?
Oh, my goodness. The book about your life.
Okay, so a couple of different things. Let's just go ahead and start there. I actually already have a book about my life. It's called, what is it? Finding Career Freedom? Like that. I wrote that, I'm not sure how many years ago. I took it down. I mean, public. I'm going to share this publicly. Because it was my first book, and it's horrendous, right? When I think back that, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, the editing wasn't really up to par. Like, there's a lot of things. So currently what we are doing, we're in the process of re-releasing that book.
Nice.
So that it's, we're not going to change a lot of things. I'm not going to like, but we're just going to polish it up. You know what I'm saying? And make sure that it's, you know, I'm a doctor now. So you can't just be having things like that just out in space anymore.
Please,
right?
Don't. Please.
So we took it down and we're re-releasing it later this year. We do have Career Affirmations book coming out.
Ooh.
It's available for pre-order. So if you're on LinkedIn and you follow me, you know, every Friday I have like a career affirmation. That's something that I did. I think it's funny because, when I was sharing the career affirmation at the time, they weren't real. Like, I wanted the things to be true. So I was sharing them just kind of like in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped sharing them. People would ask, what happened to your career affirmations? Like, oh, I didn't know it was a thing. So then I kept sharing them. And then they started becoming real. And then people started having conversations around, oh, positive mindset and affirmation. How does this work? And I was like, oh, there needs to be a conversation about this. So I wrote a book and I wrote some affirmations and a place for self-reflection so people can actually begin to think and change their careers and what they look like and how much money they make and the type of relationships they have with their coworkers. So 90 days of career affirmations will actually be released next month. And we will be able to share that with people in paperback and ebook as well, so that people can really do the work and understand, like, people don't know where to start. This will be a great place for people to start.
Hold on. Now, this is April that they're hearing this. So you said next month.
So it should be available in April.
Okay.
So it should be available this month.
Just got to make sure. That was my last question. Erica, you got any more questions?
I don't think I have any more questions.
Was there anything else you wanted to share or talk about before we let you go? What time is it? It's your day starting, ain't it? Oh, wait, well, you're back. I'm sorry, you're back
I'm
here.
Back. I'm back with you. So my day is at the end, right? But it kind of just is starting because I still have more work to do.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything to share for anyone. Like, I would say if you want to get connect with me, just connect with me on LinkedIn, Dr. Ashley Dash, right? D-A-S-H, not the actual simple guys, like spell it out. D-A-S-H. Like, so I get that a lot. And I just want people to be like excited and happy, right, about their careers. And if they don't really know where to start, they want to reach out to me, they totally can. I can talk with them or get them connected to the right person. Cause like now I am a fan of like, that's not my specialty. Let me send you over here. That's not what I do. Let me connect you over here. Because if you're not the right person, there's no need of us both being upset. Right. But if they want to check out Resume ATM, you know, check it out. We are working through it. And we're excited about what we're doing and just making it a better product for everyone and just getting feedback from the people who have used it. Like, hey, how can we make this better? How can we make it easier? How can we make it more impactful for you so that like it works quicker, better, faster, like all the things, right? Mm-hmm. We're just surprised that a lot of the stuff that we're putting together doesn't quite exist in this way, the way we have a package. So we're getting ready to like go hard in the paint.
That is dope. Let me cue the exit music. Now, all of Dr. Dash's links will be in the description per usual. Y'all make sure y'all connect with her. I'm telling you. And go back and listen to our old podcast episodes. Man, we had some great conversations. This is one of the dopest friendships that I have to date because I walk away full. You know what I'm saying? I just walk away re-energized, refull. And I've been having a trash week. And I got to teach a class tomorrow that I'm not prepared for. But now I just feel better about it all over again because you just made me reflect on my journey. And then you're doing all these wonderful things. And then we're passing all of this knowledge down to Erica, the next generation. I just feel so good. So, ladies and gentlemen, what'd you say?
I said, love to see it.
Yes, yes, yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, take care of yourselves physically, mentally, and financially. We'll catch y'all next time. Peace.